We'll begin with opening remarks from Sean and then open up the call to questions. Sean?
Hey, just want to thank everybody for being here, and always thank you to you all for obviously helping us get the word out on Heat Wave. This Sunday, July 7th, at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. Very excited about the card. If you don't mind, I'm going to roll through it real quick. We've got the Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Championship with Trick Williams defending against Ethan Page, Shawn Spears, and Javon Evans. Obviously, I don't know. Again, that one is very exciting. Sort of got the veterans versus the young bucks. That's what's going to be exciting to watch. And then, of course, we've got the NXT Women's Championship being defended by Roxanne Perez against Lola Vice. And the new NXT North American Women's Champion, Kalani Jordan, defending against Sol Ruka. The Men's North American Champion, Oba Femi, defending against former champion Wes Lee. The NXT tag titles are going to be defended on Heat Wave with Axiom and Nathan Frazer defending against Andre Chase and Duke Hudson of Chase University. And for those of you that may not know, last night made the last minute, Canada's own Carmen Petrovic and Ariana Grace will have a tag team match, excuse me, against JC Jane and Jasmine Nix. So everybody here in NXT, very excited. I think this is certainly, from while I've been running this, our first adventure over the border. So everybody here is excited. We had people having to get passports for the first time in their lives. So in our little world, this is a you know, just a fantastic opportunity for us. And we're very excited and looking forward to coming to Toronto and tearing the house down. So with all of that, I guess we'll open it up to you all, and I'll do my best to answer the questions as best I can.
Thanks, Sean. We'll now open up to questions. We do kindly ask you to limit to one question each, and we'll get through as many as we can in the time allotted. If you do have a question, please use the raise hand function within Zoom. Our first question will go to Mike Johnson. Mike?
Hey, Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Mike.
So I want to ask you about the possibility, since we're going to be up in Canada, of a TNA connection this week with Heat Wave, and your thoughts on the collaboration thus far with the people at Anthem.
Yeah, look, obviously very excited about that collaboration, and look, all of the honestly, all of the collaborations that appear to be going on here in NXT and the WWE as a whole. TNA, I know that there's my understanding that AJ Styles will also be working in Japan with Noah, and I know we've got some crossover with Bloodsport. So look, all of this is just a new time in the WWE, a new era, I guess, as people are calling it. Very excited about it, and we here in NXT excited about the TNA crossover as well. At this point in time, right now, not a whole lot to add. Excited of how it's all gone. Very excited about how it's going to go in the future. But at this point right now, I couldn't speak to you on specifics on how we're going to be moving forward on that.
Okay, I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dominic D'Angelo. Dominic?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good, good to hear. So, yeah, looking forward to the PLE this weekend. You talk about having that crossover and stuff like that. Somebody that did have a recent crossover back at the end of the year was Charlie Dempsey. And I kind of wanted to get your perspective of, him being Wayne Regal's son, but also his development as a talent, what you see him in him from a charisma standpoint, and his ceiling too as well.
Look, Charlie's been a joy to work with. I think one of the, obviously, yeah, people know that he's William Regal's son. And look, I think he certainly has some of his dad's characteristics, which are fantastic. One of the things I really enjoy about Charlie, to the point you made earlier, is that ability with crossover with him. He's very adaptable, certainly from a, again, if you're talking about possible collaborations with Noah or with Bloodsport, those are areas where I think Charlie really thrives. One of the things that we've I think people have seen lately from an NXT standpoint is finding out how much of that sort of entertainment quality that he has, that his father had, that ability to not just also not just be a very serious and credible wrestler, but also seeing you know, how much range there is in the area of a sports entertainer. And I think that's something that he's really embraced as of late. And I think that it's, I don't know, I'm always a fan of that kind of stuff when you have guys that have a lot of range. Certainly here at NXT, that's one of the things we try to focus on, because you just never know, you know, when that call up comes, you just don't ever know really what creative maybe line or box they may put you in. And we just want to make our talent here as well-rounded as we possibly can, and at least give them maybe an idea of some of the things that might be asked of them in the future. And Charlie is now somebody that's been adapting to that very well.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. Have a great show, man.
But thank you.
Our next question comes from John Pollock. John?
Hey there, Sean. Thanks a lot for the time. I just wanted to ask you about two recent departures from NXT slash WWE, and that would be Gable Steveson as well as Drew Gulak. Can you just give us your vantage point on what contributed to those decisions to part ways, and specific to Drew Gulak, if there was a disciplinary element that went into that decision to not renew his contract?
So from my understanding, nothing on anyone's part other than, you know, contracts being up, certainly in the place of Drew Gulak. And from a company standpoint, there not being anything from a main roster standpoint that they were going to be using him in. And that's certainly, as we, you know, here in NXT over the last at least, you know, year and a half, 2 years, we've been trying to, again, get into a process of really keeping it fluid as far as, you know, finding out people. Again, it's all about getting, I guess, to the main roster when everything's said and done. And if in 2 or 3 years that doesn't happen, we have to see, you know what I mean, either bring other people in or see if we're ready to move on. And as far as Gable is concerned, look, I think he's an incredibly talented guy. You can see that. It's amazing some of the things this young man can do. It's my understanding he's just been drafted in football. So, again, clearly he's a dude that lands on his feet no matter where he's going. Obviously wishing him luck in that endeavor, and kind of, you know, excited to see how that works out. But honestly, no, yeah, look, those are things that we here in NXT, we do our best to use people to the best of their ability. But from a main roster standpoint, if they feel like, you know, there's not a place for them that they have for them on the main roster and their contracts are up, it's just something, from my understanding, from a business standpoint, that they just choose to move on. Thank you, sir.
Our next question comes from Kimmy Sokol. Kimmy?
Sorry. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hello there.
So I want to ask about Mia Yim. She's been in NXT a lot more recently. She's obviously helping out a lot of the younger women who are showcased on NXT Weekly. How do you like kind of the stuff that she's doing down there?
Look, Mia's been fantastic. And I have to say that anytime that we have some of the veterans, and certainly main roster people coming down and helping our young superstars, it's a huge plus for us. I think from Mia's standpoint, she enjoys it as well. I can remember, you know, her commenting last night on a couple of things like, oh, my goodness, you know, having more than 3 minutes to go out there and showcase myself is just such a blast. So, look, I'm always very excited when we get some of those people back, and especially somebody like Mia, who was, you know, part of the Black and Gold era. I think that's something that she takes a lot of pride in, as she should. But anytime we get people with that kind of experience, especially, you know, when it comes to our women's roster, because it is so deep, so fantastic. But we, you know, we do have a lot of very young, new talent. So when we have some veterans that are as skilled as Mia is, it's always a treat for us and a huge advantage for us to have her back here. So we've thoroughly enjoyed having her. And as I tell them all the time, it's like, as long as if you don't mind coming, we certainly don't mind using you, because it's just, again, it's just fantastic for us and fantastic for our young superstars to be in there with people of that skill level. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Steve Fall. Steve?
What's going on, Sean? How are you today?
Doing well.
Awesome to hear. Now, NXT is obviously on the road for PLE's Heat Wave coming up this weekend, but rumors are that for the first event on the CW, NXT could be on the road as well. Is that something you want to see weekly for the NXT programming?
Well, look, that's one of those ones that I hear about as well, but I'm not sure if it's in stone. So, look, I will say this. I think you always would love to kind of be out there all the time, but honestly, what is best, what I believe for the product, and I don't know, at least for us right now, being in our home here in Orlando is, I think, fantastic. I mean, I don't think that's anything I would ever want to get away from totally. I don't think it ever hurts, obviously, much like we're doing with the PLEs or some specials, if you were able to get out of the state of Florida, that it would never obviously be a bad thing. But I'll say this, I can't say that there's anything that I see on the foreseeable future that would, where you could make sense doing that and justify doing it when it comes to certainly from an income standpoint, I think, but those things, as I've told you guys many times, above my pay grade. That's one of the great things I love about not being high level, is I don't have to think about that stuff and I get to focus on NXT. We're thrilled about getting out now to the PLEs. Everybody here, seriously, is so excited about coming to Canada and going to Toronto. And I know in the big scheme of things, that may not seem like much to, again, even you guys, the Wiley veterans that have been doing this, but you're talking about like Javon, a 20-year-old kid that's never been out of the country. Like you said, what he said last night on the show, he had to go get his passport. It is. And there were a number of people that, like, I've never left the country before. I don't, they don't travel that much. Coming to Florida was a huge move for them. So again, even getting out on these PLEs is just extremely exciting for our talent. And for us, I think that's a good balance of what we have going right now. So I don't see any foreseeable changes in the future. But again, one thing I've learned about this place is every time you think you know what's going on, you don't.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Kenny McIntosh. Kenny.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Hello, Kenny.
Good to talk to you again. I know you said earlier you can't talk about specifics. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're just sitting in the car, man. If I knew we could just be sitting in the car, I might have just been sat out in the parking lot, for God's sakes.
Oh, no, you've embarrassed me. I'm sorry. I want to ask you about Joe Hendry, because you said earlier you can't go into specifics about what's happening with the TNA crossover, but that appearance that he made in NXT, the massive ovation, the social media numbers, can you talk a little bit about the appearance and your experience of working with him?
Yeah, look, I think clearly you could see what it was. It was my first time meeting Joe. I certainly, again, even for me not being the most skilled social media guy, you see his turnaround and stuff all the time from a social media standpoint. Clearly, he's a bright young man. The short dealings that I had with him, I liked him a great deal. So, again, nothing would thrill me more than that I have the opportunity to work with Joe Hendry in the future. I think he would tell you the same thing. I think that he's somebody that obviously wants to continue to grow and move up. But right now, again, unfortunately, nothing to add at this point in time. But I think he's a young man that's very bright, certainly has a very bright future. And I appreciate the way that he's sort of generated this on his own. And I think that always speaks well of somebody that, again, you use the words thinking outside of the box. He's obviously done that. And I always appreciate the intellect that it takes for somebody to grow outside of, you know, the wheelhouse that they're in.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Stephanie Hypes. Stephanie.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. Thank you.
I have one question and one statement. My question is, NXT Battleground was amazing. The first time you guys had performed in a UFC venue. So what was your opinion on that? Would you want to do that again? And my statement is, I love your new profile picture and you're embracing your chef cooking meme.
Well, thank you very much. I have to thank Jordan Grace as for bringing me the chef hat. I thank her very much for that. And look, some people on my social media team obviously having some fun with that. I am as well. So I appreciate that a great deal. As far as the Apex, look, fantastic facility. I think it was a lot of fun being out there. Obviously a different look. An amazing venue. Can't thank everybody from UFC for being so truly wonderful to work with. I think we learned a lot of stuff out there, how we could possibly make that better. Right now, nothing to add. Clearly, we'd love to always have the opportunity to go out there and be in that amazing facility again. But I think right now, again, yeah, I wish, I could say that we were going to be able to make that happen in the near future. Right now, I can't obviously speak to that. But I think it was a real positive experience. But I also think we learned a lot of things of how we can make it even better the next time.
Awesome. Keep cooking.
Thank you, dear. I'll do my best.
Our next question comes from Adam Silverstein. Adam?
Hey, Sean. Glad to hear you're doing well. I wanted to ask you about Javon Evans. There's been a bunch of wrestlers and athletes that have come through NXT, few as young and talented as him, given his age. When you work with someone like him or a Roxanne Perez when they first arrive, do you sometimes almost feel a need to preach patience? And how would you say he's adapted through that part as well during his time in Orlando?
Well, so I'll give him this. He's been one of those people that has not given any impression in any way, shape, or form that he feels like he's ready to go to the main roster or anything like that. I appreciate that he, at least at this point, appears to be very patient. And one of the things is that with Javon, sort of what you see is what you get. The young man that he is on camera is the way he is. He is thrilled to be here. He's living his best life. He's having the greatest time in the world. But to your point, he is so extremely talented. For him, and I'm always amazed at it, but I appreciate it at the same time. For him, that's his normal. Again, he can come back and I can, oh my goodness, that was just amazing. He's like, no problem, boss. And so it's just something that's just another day at the office for Javon, which again makes you sit back and you go, my goodness, this is just the beginning with this young man. The future is unbelievable of what he can accomplish. And it's, I have to constantly remind myself and sort of also remind them that when you reach the ripe old age of 23 or 24, you need to still understand that your best days are still ahead of you. But he really does. He's a great kid. What you see is what you get. He's been a joy to deal with behind the scenes. And to your point, I think he understands the patient standpoint. And I hope, I really do, I hope he never grows out of that, because he's got a wonderful attitude about what he's doing. And I think it's going to serve him very well in the future.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Phil Strum. Phil?
Hi, Sean. Thanks for doing this. I wanted to ask about the two Canadians in the main event of the PLE, Sean Spears and Ethan Page. I remember back in Philadelphia, you had mentioned about working with guys coming from other companies and stuff like that. You had Sean Spears at the time, since you got Ethan Page. I think Sean Spears has also kind of taken on somewhat of a backstage role too. So I just wanted to get your perspective of working with them and having them interact within your NXT environment. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Two Canadians. Who'd have thunk it? No, I'm kidding. I'm being silly. They've been they're fantastic. Obviously, Sean Spears is someone that I worked with in NXT many years ago. Great guy then, great guy now. And I've just met Ethan Page, but he's just been phenomenal coming in the door. I appreciate both of them from, I don't know, the leadership standpoint that they've been doing. They understand that they're sort of having a balancing act and doing two things at once. They're in here having their, you know, having what I believe is certainly their best run, you know, in majority of the organizations they've been in. And I'm hoping to continue that form, but also understanding because of their experience and what they bring to the table, they're also out there trying to help us develop and improve a lot of these young talent that we have coming through NXT. So I think the world of both of them. You know, I always admire people that have the ability to, you know, this can be and needs to be sometimes a very self-centered kind of selfish business when you're out there. This is the way these guys make their living. But when you come to NXT and you step into a role like those two are stepping into, you have to be able to do two different things at once. And that's, you know, obviously do your best that you can do for your career, but at the same time, pass on the knowledge and the wisdom that you do have so that this business as a whole can continue to flourish. You know, and the maturity that they both bring to, you know, to the table. And like I said, that leadership quality is hard for us to beat. So I appreciate them both a great deal. And I will never, I promise, hold against them the fact that they're Canadians.
Canada's always loved HBK, right?
Yeah, and I'm so going to get in trouble again when I go there. I have nobody to blame but myself. So.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Bill Pritchard. Bill?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Doing well, Bill.
So I know you already joked about not being well-versed on social media, but I actually wanted to ask some of these more viral moments and, you know, like Sexy Red coming on the show, how much research do you do at all, if any, as far as seeing the talent coming in, or maybe it applies to wrestlers coming in, like you mentioned Joe Hendry, seeing how, you know, how much of a following he's created for himself. How much of this is you doing a little background? How much of it is somebody coming to you saying, hey, this guy would be good for your show, what do you think? Like, what kind of balance is there?
Well, look, and I won't lie to you, I play dumb a lot of the times when it comes to that stuff, but I've got Twitter. I just don't spend my entire life on it. But the thing is, it's something that certainly, at the very least, you're going every Tuesday night and you're looking at what's trending and how things are going and feedback on the show. Those are things that I regularly keep up with on a day-to-day basis. So I would never, I'd be lying, you know, if I told you I never pay attention to that stuff, because clearly I do. I saw Joe Hendry long before we ever had him on the show. And, you know, again, my algorithms are the same as I'm sure maybe a lot of y'all's. I mean, it's a lot of times it's based around wrestling. So anything from a wrestling standpoint that's going to be viral or at least, you know, gaining a bunch of interest comes across my timeline as well. And those are things that, you know, obviously I pay attention to. So for me, I think it's a balance of knowing that, you know, not everybody, you know, when you're speaking of trending and stuff like that, as awesome as that is, you might be talking maybe, you know, 100,000 people, you know, to make something trend. But, you know, we're talking about a 600,000 to 700,000, you know, from a, you know, 1,000 people from a rating standpoint. And clearly, you know, that's some people with a Nielsen box. There's millions more out there watching. So it's balancing, you know, the viral moments with what you feel is something that's not a fad and something that's going to stand more the test of time. And that's, look, I obviously take in, you know, our social media team's input. We run analytics on that stuff every week. I look at those things every week. You know, I guess I always have to go back and go, like, I'm not as dumb as I you know, pretend to be sometimes. But also, again, it's no different than, you know, having good people around you as well. You know, we have numerous young people on our creative team. So, you know, that helps me, you know, when I might call somebody a narc, somebody else says, nobody says that anymore, Sean. And I go like, okay, we'll change the word. So look, it's a give and take process. I never try to come to the table thinking I know everything under the sun. But I think we have a really good balance, and we've got a pretty collaborative operation going down here in NXT.
The old meme of you guys typing away at the computer with one index finger probably didn't do you any favors, but.
Well, look, and I also, I'm always honest with you guys. Believe me, I still, if I have to do on the keyboard, I'm still pecking. You know what I mean? I'm just pretty, you know, I'm better about it with my phone now. But if I'm keyboarding, yeah, I don't do many emails on my keyboard. I mostly do it on the phone.
All right. Thanks for your time. Good luck this weekend.
Way more information than people wanted to know about me, but there you have it.
Our next question comes from Matthew Aguilar. Matthew.
Hi, Sean. Thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
You betcha.
So I wanted to talk, you know, congrats on Heat Wave coming up, but I wanted to talk about a match that is not on the card. And that is, even though not for lack of trying, Kendrick versus Drake. I know at one point you threw that out there as a possibility that you even ref for. What did you think of the line when you actually heard you were in the song, Not Like Us? And would you have really reffed up for that?
So look, I will say this. I always get a kick out of that. I mean, it's, you know, whether it's that or as we thought, you know, again, we talk about athletes doing the cross chop on the field or on the court. Those are little moments that happen, you know, throughout your life when you, I don't know, again, where I get to sit back, and Hunter and I talk about it all the time. We get to sit back and look at ourselves and go like, wow, there was a time when we kind of affected a whole generation of, you know, of people doing stuff. Whether it's Taker, Austin, Rock, you know, Hunter, myself, you know, numerous people here in the WWE, that's one of the things that I think as you go on later in your career is one of those things that kind of means a lot to you when you, you know, you see certain people that are in the mainstream doing something that's a reference of what you did back in the day. You know, for a moment there, you know, you feel pretty good about yourself. And the great thing is they're cool right now, so it gets you over with your kids on a huge level, which helps a great deal.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Graham Armina. Graham.
Hey, Sean, thanks for taking the time. I just want to get your thoughts on how you feel you've been able to navigate the waters post-draft. Obviously, losing a lot of talent to the main roster, talent departures, people getting hurt. Just as far as bringing in free agents, obviously, you guys have the NIL program, bringing people up through that, through Level Up. Obviously, Javon Evans has been an example of that. Just your thoughts on how you've been able to, like I said, kind of navigate the waters post-draft compared to past year, something you're not exactly new to, and how you guys have been able to kind of approach that process creatively.
Yeah, well, no, look, it is challenging. And then, of course, you have other, you know, again, you have those things going on, then you may have injuries here and there, or having, you know, just, that's always a fluid thing that's going on. Look, honestly, the thing that has helped me the best is always keeping at the forefront of my mind is that's the job. Creative is going to continue to change all the time. You can't get so married to an idea or a story, you know what I mean? Because you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week. And so that's been a learning process for me because I'm somebody, look, again, I always tell you guys, I sort of do this stuff the way that I did my matches. I probably take all of it too personal. And it's one of those things that I, you know, we always tell ourselves like we care too much, but I can't help it. And when you've got this, what you feel like is just this great idea and, oh my goodness, and we can get it to play out like this. And you, you know, there's 3, 4, 5 months of story there. And then something happens that you, you know, you just, you're not aware of, and it takes you out of that. It's extremely disappointing, but I guess what helps is, again, the repetition of it. Now it's not anything new. At the very beginning, there are things that, you know, yeah, they shook me a little bit. And that's one of the, you know, pieces of advice that, you know, Hunter helped me with a great deal at the beginning, which is, again, dude, you guys got to understand there's going to be ebbs and flows in all of this. You know, you just can't, you can't get too, you can't get too high and you can't get too low. I'm still working on it all the time. He's fantastic at it. But it's still something that, you know, when you think about what could have been maybe, or you've got this idea in your mind of how something's going to go and it doesn't come out that way, you know what I mean? It can still, you know, be disappointing. But I'll say this right now. I feel like we've got so many young talent that for them, they've been so adaptable. And I guess what helps is the fact is that they're willing to try anything. And also, those people that have been doing it a little longer are veterans. They have such a trust in us. And I think when everything is said and done, that's the part that brings me the most peace, is that we've got a lot of people here in NXT that trust us and trust the process. And thankfully, we've got a track record that gives us credibility for that.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
You bet.
Our next question comes from Josh Nason.
Hey, Sean, question for you. You're just talking about the younger talent and working with veterans and all that. One question I had is, you know, a tale as long as time in wrestling is losing your spot, right? And so you have all these new talents from TNA coming in and interacting. You have, you know, Ethan Page, you mentioned, Sean Spears, others kind of coming in, coming out. I was wondering if that was a good learning opportunity for your younger talent who might be experiencing this for the first time and seeing almost like getting threatened, almost like, you know, all these people coming in. Am I going to get my opportunity? You know, I haven't been on TV in a while, those type of things. Have you found that to be a good opportunity to not only focus on, you know, there's obviously the in-ring work and everything like that, but what do you do in those situations? You know, how do you go about your business the right way and so on and so forth? Has that been a found as a learning opportunity for you and the staff?
Well, two parts to that. One of the advantages to where it doesn't happen quite as much with us down here from an NXT standpoint is everybody that comes through these doors understands for the most part that we're developmental. So, you know, a lot of those spots, more of a rotating cycle than it is a spot for a long period of time, if that makes any sense. And also some of them are so new, they don't have a vast, you know, like, laundry list of things that, you know, they haven't been, I don't want to say sort of desensitized in a business standpoint. They're all very new and young and just ready to go and hungry. So we don't run into that nearly as much as I think, you know, again, a veteran roster would, or something that goes on in a main roster standpoint, or any roster for that matter, where things are probably more clearly defined. But having said that, you still have certainly from a 2 or 3 year standpoint, people that have been used on a regular basis, they get comfortable, and then there's a situation to where they may not, feel like they're being used as well. Those things are always things that are going to come up. What we do in that case is try to use that as a developmental tool as well. Again, we don't just try to handle the development inside the ropes, and that's the only place we do it. This is also a business, you know, it's understanding there's other aspects to this developmental system than just what goes on in the ring. And those are real life experiences and real life situations that are going to happen. And how you handle that, how you conduct yourself professionally or unprofessionally, could have an impact on how, you know, you are then seen as you try to move forward. So yes, to answer your question, yes, we do use those as teaching tools as well. But I will say we don't run into it again, or I guess I just can't say. I haven't seen it to be a big problem down here, because part of the point of, you know, of NXT is also it's like college. We don't, you know, every now and then we've got a few people that understand the role that they're coming in as, and they're going to be here for quite some time in that role. But that's made sort of clear at the very beginning. Everybody else is more from a college standpoint. And, you know, we don't want you being a 35-year-old senior, you know what I mean? And still have, you know, I've still got, you know, a red shirt year that I can take advantage of and go out there, you know, play on the field. If that, you know, and I hope that makes sense to you. Thanks, sir.
Our next question comes from Alistair McGeorge. Alistair.
Hi, Sean. How's it going?
Good, Alistair. How you doing, man?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Over the past few months, we've seen storylines involving Ridge Holland and currently Brooks Jensen, sort of dealing with sort of very serious topics, sort of ranging from trappings of fame, loss of confidence, addiction, depression. How important is it that you find a sensitive way of telling those stories, and how much of that resonates with your own experiences earlier in your career?
Sure. Well, look, first of all, you know, it's a very sensitive subject. We do our best, as we've always done in this business and certainly in the WWE, you know, to blur those lines between reality and what is 100% storyline and sports entertainment. Always want to be sensitive to that and don't ever want to overstep. Look, do sometimes you miss the mark and there's, you know, something that people take from it that you certainly didn't intend. Certainly those things do happen, but I can, you know, tell you, all I can do is give people, you know, as someone who's been through it at a time when people were not sensitive to it in any way, shape or form, you can trust that there is somebody that is very sensitive to it. And if I feel like those things are being abused in any way, shape or form, certainly going to back off of that. But look, I that's something again for us. I will always say, if I even feel that, I'm going to make sure the next week that it is made perfectly clear that, you know what I mean? That we will, it's nothing more than a, you know, a storyline that is meant to be a little bit interesting and compelling, but also not ignoring the real world that is out there.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time and thank you. Yeah.
Our next question comes from Jim Barcelone. Jim.
Okay, thank you all. Thank you, Sean. I'm curious, mentioning developmental talent and just how younger talents. I know when the pandemic came, it got hit hard and the Florida House Show loop was cut back when, and obviously now it's going again, but there hasn't been as many shows. And I'm just curious, how important is it? And you mentioned like Game Changer Wrestling, Bloodsport, some of this crossover that's been going on. Can you do that with younger developmental talent, or they're not there yet? Or how do you get repetition, like you said before, with so many things yourself, doing things? That's so important for the younger talent, obviously, getting in the ring and having matches. So do you know if we're going to see more Florida Live house shows or other types of events to get them work in the ring, to get them so many more matches?
Sure. Well, look, that's always kind of on the forefront of our mind, obviously, how, you know, how we can do that and get them more reps. I can say here on a, you know, from a performance center standpoint, they're getting numerous reps here. Again, we have, again, smaller shows here at the performance center on a very regular basis, several times a week. Clearly, I always want to try to add to that Florida loop as possible. My understanding is every now and then we run into logistical things from buildings and whatnot. But look, I'm with you. I'm sort of hoping that some of these crossover possibilities that appear to be out there, excuse me, but that will also be a possibility for more repetitions and also learning to get in there with different styles as well. So those are all things that we always keep at the forefront of our mind, things that we're constantly trying to improve on and add to. And that's just, again, that's one of those things that's an ongoing process down here on a pretty regular basis, is figuring out different ways to get those repetitions in while also having them out there, again, with different people and different styles.
Well, congratulations, and congratulations to everybody there on the 11-year anniversary of the WWE Performance Center. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Jason Powell. Jason.
Hey, Sean, can you talk about Lola Vice and her fast rise to prominence in NXT and whether she is someone that you could see being fast-tracked to the main roster?
Well, look, from a fast-track to main roster, that's, again, that's stuff that I, one, I have no say-so over. And I guess I'll also say this. I'm always, I don't know, I always worry about so much going out there. And I don't mean it, you know, never, I'm never like casting judgment on anybody. But, you know, there's so many different things that go into being a complete WWE superstar. And I know there are times from a social media standpoint or review or a report that there are people that, you know, feel like they're main roster ready. And we sit back and we go like, oh my goodness, you don't, you're not here behind the scenes on the day to day. There's so many more things we can teach them before they're main roster ready. And I go back to, it's like the word great and love. They sort of get used so much that they really lose their value in what it takes to become a main roster superstar. Yes. Can people move up and I don't know, exist on the main roster? Sure. But unfortunately, I guess for NXT, they've got somebody, you know, in me that isn't looking to just, we're not just trying to get, you know, volume there. We want to, you know, we want to really produce people that are polished and ready to go, that can not be main roster ready, but be people that can draw money and increase ratings and, I don't know, create, I don't know, something very important on a main roster level. I guess, at least for me, again, getting people on the main roster, I don't know, I don't feel like it's a great accomplishment for them, but for me, I want to shoot higher than that. But to answer your question, Jason, and I apologize for going on my diatribe there. I just feel that Lola is one of those people that does have all the ability, all the tools there, again, I think, to be a main roster star. But she's still very new, still very young. And I would love, she's one of those people that I guess you say is so special. You can see those things in her that, again, would cause someone to say, she's main roster material. I would just like to get her as best equipped as we can, that when she goes to that main roster, she thrives on that main roster. And I guess that's the difference for me, of maybe wanting to take a little longer with people than what other people might want to take when they could just get them moved onto the main roster. I hope that answers your question, bud.
It does. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Our next question comes from John Powell. John?
Hey, Sean. Nice to be talking to you today. Hello from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I would be remiss if I didn't ask, what does it mean for you and the roster to come here to Canada? And the second thing I want to ask, because this kind of triggers something in my mind. So Medusa talked about recently about being in another promotion, offering people training, offering people mentorship, and some of the response was, well, I don't have to go, I don't have to do this. When, as a veteran, what do you think when you hear about that? And also explain the NXT's approach to that kind of mindset.
Well, look, first of all, everybody's thrilled about coming to Toronto. They really are, again, because I know for us, so, you know, we're not going into Madison Square Garden, but Toronto is sort of like the New York, you know, Madison Square Garden from a WWE standpoint in Canada. Well, you know what I mean? So again, for us down here in NXT, that's a really big opportunity because it's just a great crowd to perform in front of. But to answer your second question, look, I understand, you know, I think it's where you meet someone at what point in their career. Each individual guy, he's out there, he's the only one that knows what it is he got in this business for and what he wants to accomplish. I respect that. I guess we just always try to find or do our hope that we find guys that are at a point where they feel like they can establish both. So I get somebody again, like a Sean Spears or an Ethan Page that comes in here, you know, with a ton of experience. My goal is still to get them to the main roster and get them moved up to a spot that where they can begin to thrive and do well. It's just, I look at it as a twofold, and I would feel like I wasn't giving them the real truth if I didn't tell them. But while we're doing that, I'm going to ask you to take on this other role as a mentor, as a leader, as a teacher. And look, I understand. Well, put it this way. If that's something you don't feel like you want to do, I respect it. Hell, I respect that you say no, to be perfectly honest, and you want to go and do something else. Because it's better for us, I don't know, to get maybe hurt our feelings on a phone call than it is to bring you in here and then have you show us that you don't want to be teaching anybody. And he's not giving it his all. You know what I mean? So I honestly, I don't mind people, I don't know, I'll say this. I don't mind people kicking me in the nuts. I just would rather them do that before they come in and work for the company on a regular basis. So they're not kicking me in the nuts every week, every Tuesday. You know what I mean? So a one time I can deal with, but if we cannot make a habit of it, it'd be great. You bet.
And our last question comes from Kelly Wells. Kelly?
Thanks so much for this. Kalani Jordan, she was considered, I think, sort of a dark horse to win the ladder match, largely because we didn't have a real idea of who she was yet. And I was just wondering if you thought this trial by fire, sink or swim, learning who she is when she's already champion was a risk, and how do you think she has delivered in the weeks since this all kind of started for her?
Well, I guess I would go in and say that I would argue, I guess, that everybody kind of in that ladder match, with the exception of maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think, you know, Alan Henley, what could be considered a dark horse, because, again, we're talking about everybody that's, you know, again, been in there a combined time of less than 10 years altogether. All six of them, you know, and the ladies probably are the veterans in their 2.5 years. But look, I a lot of stuff we do here in NXT is taking risks. I feel very fortunate that those are things that I feel like we can do. But it is also, there's always going to be a lot we can learn, with the exception of the few people that, again, have been doing this for a long, long time. I feel like that's always going to be a situation that we find ourselves in here in NXT is maybe viewers and fans looking at it and saying like, oh, I don't know them that much. No, they didn't. They've been in college for the last 4 years, and now they're just stepping in to NXT and making their way onto television. So, and I'm not saying it's, you know, all right or it's all wrong. I just think that as we're here in NXT, the idea we're still going to have champions, we're still going to have people that are kind of our top people, so to speak. But I still want there to be something that you want to learn about them, or more you can know about them, because that also goes back, as I try to tell our talent, goes back into the developmental system. You can establish who you are as best you can, your brand, as everybody wants to call it nowadays, here in NXT, and feel like you've done a pretty good job. But then you're going to go up to the main roster and you're talking about exposing yourself to a whole other world. My advice to them is to not start at where you left off here at NXT. It's to maybe think about going back and re-showing, you know what I mean, or re-establishing what you've done there in NXT and then beginning to build on it. I don't know if I'm right, but I feel like sometimes that's one of the things that people don't understand as they move up. They sort of just take off from where they currently were somewhere else, as opposed to understanding they're exposing themselves to arguably a whole new audience. And even if some of them are the same people, you've got a lot more that are not. And it doesn't hurt to go back and reestablish those foundational aspects you want them to know about you. So Kalani Jordan is like a lot of people here in NXT. We're continuing to learn and grow and understand more about Kalani Jordan, who she is, and what makes her tick.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
You betcha.
Thank you all for joining. We'll end with any final comments from Sean. Sean?
No, again, final comments are, I really enjoy these things. I hope I do it. I still want to do a decent job with them. I hope that I'm, I don't know, as transparent as I can be, as honest as I can be. You guys, you know, help us a great deal in getting the word out there. That is something that I, you know, I don't take lightly, especially from an NXT standpoint. So I do appreciate that. I don't mind being challenged. I don't mind the cynicism sometimes. I think it keeps us on our toes, and I'm all right with that. I can, you know, can always stand to be kept on my toes a little bit. Doesn't hurt me at all to, you know, have to be ready for you guys. But I just want to also get honestly say thrilled about what I feel like is still momentum all in the right direction for NXT. The future is still unbelievably fantastic for us. I'm excited about coming to Toronto. It really is a big deal for us leaving the country. Everybody's very excited. We hope the, you know, all the fans in Toronto and the surrounding areas will come out to NXT. Yeah, go ahead and enjoy Money in the Bank. Absolutely. But don't be afraid to stay the night and come on over and catch Heat Wave the next day. Sunday, July 7th, Scotiabank Arena. NXT coming your way. And again, thank you all very much and hope to see you soon.